Thank you. Amen, choir. Amen. Thank you, David. Hear our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Our scripture today, we have two passages coming to us from the Gospel according to Luke. The first one comes to us from the very first chapter, verses 5 through 13. You can find it on the screen. I am using the New Revised Standard Version, or you can follow along in your own Bible if you brought it. Very familiar passage. I invite you, if you want, just to listen. Just to listen with your eyes closed and try to picture what's going on. It's in an old time, an ancient time, and customs that we are not used to. And there's an old man who's the central character. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." And our second passage comes from a very familiar part of Luke 2, verses 8 through 10. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people." This is the living, inspired word of God for us, the beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to gather with me around the throne of grace as we pray. Holy, living, loving Lord, thank you. Thank you that your word rings true today and speaks to our hearts. In this moment in which our to-do list seems to be more captivating than ever, when our minds are distracted by the tinsel and the bling, slow us down. Help us, O Lord, to put ourselves in the posture of listening and let our hearts have expectation that we will hear you, see you, and feel you. Lord, lift up your cross that we may see your manger and prepare for your coming. Let us not hurry, but wait for you. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For your servants are listening. Amen. During these weeks of Advent, as Mary Noble mentioned, we're using the theme of Scent. So we're going to be using some interesting passages, some non-traditional passages for Advent, in hopes of having a fresh look at what's going on. And we're not going to focus so much on ourselves. Hate that for you. We're going to focus more on what God wants. I know that's kind of, you know, a shocker for some of you. But we're going to focus on not here, but where we're going to go. And not on what's in it for us, but what God is asking us to do. So I invite you to be patient. I invite you to look with fresh eyes. The grand announcements. These two passages are interesting in that God uses the unlikely people in God's story. God has a funny way of doing that. Have you ever read scripture and noticed how God tends to use misfits, outcasts, and marginalized? And I'm real happy about that because God can use me. God can use you. God can use people of all kinds. In these stories, God is using an old couple who are righteous. They have kept the law. They have done all of the things that their faith and their religion has taught them. They have kept Sabbath. They have kept the ritual purity laws. They have done all that they needed to do. Well, heck, he's a preacher even, you know? And yet, they had no children in their culture. They were despised. And God used the shepherds, the homeless. They were considered shifty. They were considered the third shift workers. They were considered the people you didn't want to be around. And God used them to bring the story of the babe of Bethlehem. God can use anybody, amen? God can even use us at Rehoboth to forward God's message in this time and in this season. Let's take a little bit look here at what happened with poor dear Zechariah. He goes in, he takes the incense, which in the culture of Israel means that he is offering this sweet incense to the Lord. It's a prayer offering, and he is chosen by lot late in his ministry, well past the retirement age. To take in this incense to the Holy of Holies and to burn it and there receive the word. And the people are outside waiting on him to come out, and he's delayed because the angel appears, the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, "Oh, by the way, I know you're old, but you're going to have a child." Some of you are going, "I'm glad it's not me." But this, he and his wife have prayed for so long. They're going to have a child, and he doubts it. And he says, "Really, Lord?" And Gabriel says, "Because you doubt, you're struck dumb." I'm so glad God doesn't strike me deaf and dumb every time I doubt. I wouldn't have anything to say right now. I'm just saying. And he comes out, and because even through his doubt, God can work, and I'm so grateful God can work even through our doubts, amen? And he and Elizabeth have this son, and it's not just any son. It is the forerunner. It is the great John who is going to pave the way, be the great preparer for the one who's going to come after. God can use an old couple whose hearts are made glad finally after waiting so long for this blessed child. Then to their care is given the special one. The announcement was a grand announcement to this family, was it not? And later on, God's not finished. There are these shepherds. People didn't just get up one morning and say, "I hope to grow up to be a shepherd." It was the last resort to be a shepherd. You didn't, you know, when you had a child, when you had a boy, you in that culture, you didn't say, "I hope he grows up to be a shepherd." It was the lowliest of jobs because you had to sleep with the sheep. You had to be with the sheep all day. You literally had no home. You wandered around in all the elements, fighting off beasts, fighting off people who wanted to rob you of the sheep. You were dirty. You had to eat whatever you could forage around. You were often kept out of the cities because of your lifestyle. We have shepherds in our midst. They go to places like the National Rescue Mission and Community Care Fellowship and CARES and Shalom Zone. They're overlooked. They're not given names that you would, polite names that you would call them by. They work all hours of the night. We have shepherds in our midst. We tend to glorify that, but it's not a glorified occupation. And it was to the shepherds that the very first announcement came that the baby was born. There was no ta-da in the papers or CNN didn't show up. It was to the lowly, homeless, marginalized outcast that the angel came and said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you great joy for," here's the key word, "all people." All people. Not just Americans. Not just white people. Not just black people. Not just brown people. For all people. Not just for people who worship on Sunday. Not just for people who worship on Friday. But for all people. And I'm going to preach in right now in case y'all haven't noticed. For all people. God came and talked to the swing shift people and said, "For all people. I came for all people, not just some people." And why did God come? Why did Jesus leave the heavenly throne, the comfort of being with the Father and the Spirit? Jesus came to reconcile, to bring us a way back to God, because we became self-determined and decided we wanted to leave the full presence of God because we couldn't handle only having one rule. And we only had one rule in the beginning, right? God said, "I gave you everything in the garden, everything you could possibly want. I would walk with you in the evening. There was just one thing you couldn't have. And I put it all in the center where you had to go find it. It was that one little tree." Basically give you self-determination. And what did we do? We went right for that one thing. And thus began our journey, the dance of trying to become reconciled with God. Jesus came to reconcile us back to God so that we had a way in which we could relate to God, be saved, if you will, be brought into a right relationship with God. Jesus came to reconcile all of creation back to God. But Jesus was sent not only to reconcile us to God, but to reconcile us with each other. And we need reconciliation with each other, do we not? All you got to do is turn on the TV, and you can see proof after proof after proof that we are not reconciled with each other. Bombings in Paris, troubles in the Middle East, children who are hungry, families that are broken apart. You can see rumors of war and evidence of war. You can see strife and strife. Do we not need peace on earth? We need reconciliation. Within our own families, we need reconciliation. I know that, and you know that. We need to be reconciled with each other. And some of us, and I'm including myself, we need reconciliation within ourselves, do we not? We need to come to grips that we are a broken person. We need God's peace and shalom, and we need the salve of grace to be rubbed over us. We need to be reconciled within ourselves. We need to accept that we are loved beyond measure, and there's not a thing we can do about that. We need to be reconciled to the fact that God created us and we are worth so very much, that our past is the past, and that God has a big, big honking measure of grace pouring on us, and that to God we are special. We are so very special to God. Jesus was sent to reconcile us in all these ways, in all these areas. That's why he came. He didn't come to be the Messiah that was expected. He didn't come to set up a political regime to overthrow the current powers. He didn't come to set up a government. He came to set up a kingdom of love, a kingdom of grace and acceptance. That's why he came. In the book, some of you will be reading, there's a statement. The promise of Advent is that God hears our longings. All of us, when we really want to get truthful with ourselves, have this deep, deep longing within our hearts. Professor of mine said that all of us are created with a God-shaped hole in our hearts, and only God can fill it and us be satisfied. The problem is that we try to throw other things in this hole. Possessions, relationships, some of us that are workaholics, amen. You know who you are. We try to put everything else in this God-shaped hole within our souls. But when we take all that out and we put God in there, that's what fills up that longing. The promise of Advent is that God hears our longing, sends Jesus to reconcile us, and here's the part I want you to hear, then sends us as messengers of that reconciliation. Sends us with all of our faults, with all of our issues, sends us as a messenger of that reconciliation. That's what Advent is about. Part of being getting ready for the coming of the Christ child is to be sent as a messenger of reconciliation. So, here's my challenge. How will you be a messenger of reconciliation this week? Do you need to reconcile yourself with someone in your family? Is there someone at work that you need to offer the branch of peace? Maybe you just need to open your eyes to the forgotten around you and truly see the marginalized, those who are not seen by everybody else. But how will you be a messenger this week of reconciliation? There are simple acts that you can do. Take the time in the hustle and bustle of this season when you're at a restaurant to ask the server, can you pray for them? Take the time to say thank you and really look that cashier in the eye and tell them they're doing a great job. Take the time to see the person who is sitting alone. Take the time to think not of yourself, but of those who are lonely and forgotten this season. Maybe send a letter to your elected official and asking them why it is that poor people are kept in systems that keep them poor, or why it is that Venus Stewart students are always bused to that school and they're always kept in systems of poverty. How are you going to be a messenger of reconciliation this week? And if you'd like to share that with me, I'd love to hear it. That's my email address. Call me. Call Mary Ann or send it to the church email and Mary Ann will get it to me. Let us not sit on our blessed assurances this week and think it's all about us. Yes, the babe came for us, but he came for everybody too. We're going to sing a most Advent-like hymn. It's in The Faith We Sing. I invite you to take that little book out. 2130. It's called The Summons. You've sung it before around here. The first four verses is God in Christ asking you a question. And then verse 5 is your response. And it goes so well with this, are you going to be a messenger? Will you allow yourself to be sent? Are you going to take Advent from this place to the world? I invite you to stand. If you feel led to come to the altar, our altar is open. If you wish to receive Christ for the very first time, We should come back to Christ. If whatever you need, the altar is open. I invite you to stand as we sing the summons. Faith We Sing, 2130.